Thank you, Marcia. Great song. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope that you do have, we're a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, I'd like for you to turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, page 1117. I'm going to try to dissect the most familiar and famous verse in the Bible. And that would be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May we pray together. Father, now I pray you'll help us to clear our minds and not be thinking on activities that may be planned later in the day. Pray you'll help us to concentrate on the preaching of your word. I pray you might save those who are lost, reclaim those who are backslidden. I pray you'll do a work in everybody's heart these next few minutes. Bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. Give me the freedom to speak and give me the power to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says that God is a God of wrath. The Bible also says that God is a God of judgment. But now listen to me. His wrath and judgment only fall after his great love and mercy and compassion has been rejected. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Before we can understand the extent of God's love, we must first of all discover the object of God's love. For God so loved. God so loved whom? God so loved the world. That includes all of you folks. That includes everybody that has ever lived or ever will live. It includes the 7+ billion people living on planet Earth at this time. God created us as human beings in his own image. Why did he do that? What is the one purpose he created us? That he might lavish his love upon us. Some inkling of the love of God might be understood if we were to consider for a moment the beauty that God has prepared for us. The doors of Eden closed when sin entered in. No spot remains upon this earth comparable with the beauty that was there. But as we look around at this springtime of the year, we see God's handiwork and we see God's beauty. The dead grass has turned to beautiful green. The leaves on the trees have reappeared. The flowers are blooming. It's a beautiful time of the year. And then before long, there'll come the gorgeous autumn as the leaves turn to magnificent beauty. The flaming rays of the sunset, the golden beams of the sunrise, the white blossoms of the lily, the blushing cheek of the rose, as well as the golden wings of the butterfly, are all but a minute glimpse of the beauties that once adorned Eden. A mother's love is great and imperishable. The love of man and a wife is something beautiful to behold. The love of a father for his son is something that thrills the soul. However, all of life's affections are shallow in comparison to the deep ocean of God's love. Dear folks, if you want to know the object of God's love, go look in the mirror, and there is your answer. God loves you. God loves all of us. God loves the world. Another question we might ask is, what is the extent of God's love? It incorporates every being upon this whole globe, for God so loved the world. God's love includes every Eskimo in the frozen waste of the Arctic Circle. It includes every black man, every white man, every yellow man. It includes the Jews and the Gentiles, the Oriental man. It includes everyone. It reaches behind every prison door. It reaches into the slums of Chicago where men and women live in filth so vile it would nauseate even the most hardened caseworker. It reaches into the red light district where men's and women's bodies have been ravaged by social prostitutes. It reaches into the pit of sin where man has fallen lower than beasts. It reaches into the death cell where hardened criminals await their doom. God's love, like his plan and purpose, is not a respecter of persons. It reaches into the icy huts of Greenland's mountains. It flows into the Orient. It reaches to the millions who live in India. It reaches into the lonely jungles of Africa. Have you ever wondered just how much does God love? Then go back to our text. For God so loved that he gave. That, dear folks, is the measurement of love. You can tell the extent of love by the gift of the giver. When a man loves a woman, he stands before the pastor and solemnly swears in the presence of God and the angels and a congregation of people and says, "With all my worldly goods I thee endow." Why? Because he loves her. When a young man falls in love, he immediately goes into debt and buys an engagement ring. Back in 1956, I took my wife to be, and we went down to Stewart's Jewelry, located on Columbia Street between 3rd and 4th Streets. And I went into debt for $500 for my future wife's engagement and wedding rings. That was a lot of money in those days. By the way, she is still wearing those same rings now for almost 57 years. That works out to about $9 per year. That's not bad, is it? I'm not like some of you husbands. You got your ring out of the Cracker Jack box. So I say giving is the proof of love. I don't have any time for the old backslidden devils who go around singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And then when the offering plate is passed, they turn to marble and put a padlock on their pocketbook. They really don't love Jesus. If they did, they would not just give a dollar when all they have they owe to God. I wonder how many of you men who truly love your wives go to the Goodwill store and get her a new dress for $5 and you got at Macy's and spend $250 on your new suit. God pity your soul. Do you purchase your wife a hot dog for lunch while you eat a T-bone steak? Bunch of hypocrites. God so loved that he gave. That is how God expressed his love. Yes, and more than that, it would be easier for you and me to give to some worthy person, to love some worthy person, but God gave and loved to the unworthy. Perhaps the scripture in Romans chapter 5 might illuminate your heart. Would you turn there with me, please? Romans chapter 5, page 1197. Romans chapter 5, page 1197 in your King James Scofield Bible. And look at verse number 8. But God commendeth, or he proved, or he demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet unclean and vile and wicked, not the good little angels we think we are, God's abounding love overshadowed us. God's abundant mercy enveloped us in the form of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's easy to love and admire a righteous person. It's easy for us to love some beautiful young virgin with the flower of purity blossoming on her cheek. It's easy for us to love some handsome young Absalom whose strength and health radiate from his countenance. But God did not love us for our purity. God expressed his love toward man while we were yet sinners. While the human heart was filled with iniquity, while it was yet desperately wicked, while every imagination was only evil continually before him, God loved us. God was moved with compassion while the heart of man was the habitation of every foul, hateful, and unclean spirit. Yes, even then, God's heart was filled with everlasting love for sinful man. For God so loved that he gave his Son. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, please, page 1314. 1 Peter chapter 3, page 1314. And look with me at verse number 18. 1 Peter 3, 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. Notice, he suffered once the just for the unjust. What a capacity for love. What depths of compassion and mercy. Christ suffered for the unjust. It was not for somebody good that he suffered. He suffered the just for the unjust. Christ, the incarnate truth, suffered for sinners. He who is purer than the driven snow suffered for those whose lives are an open shame before God. Christ, whose lips were purity itself, was smitten for foul-mouthed blasphemers. Christ, whose heart only beat to love sinful man, suffered for those whose hearts were an open cesspool of iniquity. Christ prayed for sinners. He suffered the just for the unjust. The giver of all good suffered for the thief, the righteous for the unrighteous. He suffered the holy for the unholy, the godly for the ungodly, the prince for the pauper, the blessed for the cursed. How much did he suffer? Turn with me in your Bibles over to Galatians 3, please. Page 1244. Galatians chapter 3. Page 1244, looking at verse number 13. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. He who only loved to bless became a curse for everybody. He who was always a blessing was made a curse. Jesus, the fairest of 10,000, was made a curse for the unseemly and unlovely. Jesus, who was the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, was made a curse. Jesus, who was in the beginning with God, who gave his back to the smiters, hiding not his face from shame and spitting. Oh, what depths of suffering and humiliation. Why? For us. Dear folks, it was for us he suffered. It was for us he was beaten. It was for us he was made a curse. Into the midst of earth's sorrow, he came to give joy. Into the midst of strife, he came to give peace. Into the midst of death, he came to give life. He suffered the just for the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God. How much did God love us? Jesus, the inhabitor of eternity, was made a curse for us. How much does God love us? There is no way to measure it. The vision of the human eye is too narrow in its scope to see. The ear of man has been too hardened by sin to hear. The heart of man has become so darkened by iniquity to understand. Turn with me now over to Ephesians chapter 3, please, page 1252. Ephesians chapter 3, page 1252. Beginning in verse 17 and following of Ephesians 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul prayed that we might know the extent of God's love. He prayed our vision would be extended, that we might see the height of God's love. He prayed that our lives might be quickened to the extent of sounding the depths of God's love. On Mount Wilson Observatory, there's a giant telescope. Stars 1,000 times larger than our own earth are but dim specks in the distance. But God's love is higher than that. It reaches to the very throne of heaven itself. God's love is too high for mortal man to see, for the love of God is high as God, and he reigns over all. Do you want to know the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of God's love? If so, roll back the pages of time and stand with him on Golgotha's brow. There, suspended between the heavens and the earth, Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son, is substituting himself for you and for me. Turn with me quickly over to 2 Corinthians 5, please. Page 1233. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 1233. Reading in verse number 21 of 2 Corinthians 5. For he, speaking of God the Father, made him, speaking of God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Go and write on the top of the cross the height of God's love. Stoop down beneath the nail-pierced feet that never touched nor walked in sin and write the depth of God's love. Then walk around to the left of the cross, the side where the heart of God beats, the heart that loved you and me, the heart that bore our griefs and sorrows, the heart that wept over the lost condition of sinners, the heart, that bruised and bleeding hand. Go to that bruised and bleeding hand and write there the length of God's love. and then walk around to the opposite side, the right hand, the everlasting hand, the hand that cradled the universe, the hand that was dipped into the sea of eternity to form the worlds, the hand that blessed the little children, the hand that lifted up the woman taken in adultery, the hand that rebuked the winds and the waves, the hand that kept the unbelieving Peter from sinking beneath the waves. Go there and write the breadth of God's love. That love was for you and me. The cross exemplified the love of God. All of God's pardoning mercy was invested in the cross. All of God's love toward men appeared at the cross. The condemnation that God was borne by Christ was ours. The judgment of God upon our sin was ours. The shame of the cross should have been ours. The suffering of the cross was rightfully ours. But God loves us, and God gave His Son. Oh, how I love John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved. God gave. We believe. And what do we have? We have everlasting life. We have life when we deserve death. We have peace when we deserve trouble. We have joy when we should have sorrow. We have righteousness when we should have unrighteousness. We have forgiveness of sin when we should have condemnation. Now turn with me, please, to Titus chapter 3, page 1284. Titus chapter 3, page 1284. Titus chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse 3 and 4 and then verse 6. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God towards our Savior, man appeared, when He shed His blood abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Oh, how impossible it is to be able to proclaim the love of God. And dear friend, no matter how low you have fallen, no matter how deep you have sunk in the quagmire of sin, no matter the depth and depravity, God's love goes deeper than that. And God will move heaven and earth to save you from a terrible doom. Can you refuse such love as that? Can you turn down His invitation to eternal life? Can you reject what He did on Calvary's cross in your behalf? The most amazing thing in the world to me is that anyone can refuse His unmatchless love. Please, please, do not turn away from that love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray together, please. Dear Father in heaven, there's no way to measure God's love. There's no way we can fathom all that happened on the cross. There's no way we can completely understand it. But we don't have to understand it all. We will one day. What we do have to understand is we're lost. We've sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. And there's only one way to get to heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I pray, Father, if there are those in this crowd this morning that's never trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that they will. I pray they'll do that this morning. I pray as we open up the invitation, you'll help folks make decisions that they'll wish 100 years from now that they've made. Bless the invitation as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.